Everybody's made of clay. That's what they used to say. Until truth stepped on a song. Now everything there was big as small.
17 till 5 on downtown. I don't feel like we're in Hawaii already here.
That's right. That's the point, ultimately. I picked this song for an entirely different reason, but, you know, yeah. Jack Johnson just...
Absolutely. Put on my flowery shirt. Take off my shoes.
Sandals required.
Yes,
exactly.
Fantastic. Eric is here. Eric Meehan, of course. Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. It's Message in the Bottle time.
That's right.
Welcome.
That's right. So this song, Red Wine, Mistakes, Mythology. That's what we're all about today.
Nice.
Red Wine, Mistakes, and Mythology. We're back for the 2020 edition of Message in the Bottle. We had our first segment last week, and as you, I'm sure, all remember, we like to take the first half of this year to sort of talk the ins and outs of what wine is, what wine isn't, and go over everything. And in these early segments, I kind of go over generalities, and today is the day I kind of talk about common misconceptions and myths about wine. And, you know, things to kind of get your head around, get your heart over, you know, things like that. Did want to start really quick today with something that happened to me earlier today, and it kind of shook me. I think it shakes a lot of people who have public forums. Someone wrote into me and expressed that they thought I was expressing too much politics in my newsletter, and. And I admit, I wrote back. I was a little grouchy in my response. But I did want to address this on a serious note, just to everybody out there. I'm sure this has happened to you.
Oh yes.
And it'll probably happen more. But I just want to say, you know, folks, I was a politics minor in college. I learned enough to know that I want to stay the hell out of it. But understand that if you have a platform and you can talk to people and try to influence them, especially when you think that there is an injustice happening, and I do, I think that's your duty as an American. It's our right as an American. And if you don't like it, don't read it. You know, that's simple enough. Don't listen, don't whatever. But I would encourage you to not take that advice. Read it. Listen. We are all too focused on very, very narrow points of view these days. And you can disagree with what I'm saying, although I find it hard to believe that anyone who supports my store would disagree me not wanting to go out of business. But hey, you know, if you think I'm too political, that's your choice.
Or, you know, ask a question.
Ask a question.
What do you mean by this, Eric?
Yeah. But I just wanted to say to you, sir, and anybody who else who thinks that, you know, politics has no place in my life or anybody else's life, boy, I wish it didn't. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to pay my taxes, have my roads paved, and have, you know, fair and just government just like everybody else does. And I, just like anybody else, if I perceive an injustice, I'm going to speak up about it. And I hope that everybody out there does, you know?
And when it impacts us and our families, whether it's personally or business-wise, yeah, you have a responsibility to speak out.
I think so. So I just wanted to address that. It shook me earlier today because, again, I am a fan of so many, you know, journalists who occasionally veer into these opinions politically and otherwise and get, you know, grief for it. And I always empathized with them. And you know, today I'm standing with them and saying, like, listen, it's as Rich just said, it's my responsibility to speak up. And I did.
You know, I've had a couple sponsors through the years that said they didn't want to be part of it anymore.
Yeah.
And with this sort of implied threat that, you know, we're going to tell somebody. Like, do you know what station we're on? Do you know who owns this station?
Yeah. but tell, you know, in my opinion, tell as many people. What I am most fearful of is that people don't seem to be aware of what's going on. You know, and this is just in general.
Right.
But when I do talk to customers, even now, you know, they're just unaware of not only the tariffs that would affect mine, but look at the list of tariffs, and people are like, well, there's always been this. Well, that's right, but it doesn't make it right.
No.
It doesn't make it the best course of action. So that's what I just wanted to say to all you out there. you know, I consider these things before I write them, and I don't send them out lightly. But it's, you know, like I said, it's my livelihood. And if I don't, I'm not responsible.
And there people say, well, you're going to alienate customers. Well, you know what? If these things go through, you may not have customers to worry about.
Sadly, that's precisely what I told this gentleman.
Yeah.
If these things sort of happen, you won't have to worry about my newsletters offending anyone because they won't exist. Let's talk about happier things. All right. First of all, another concerning thing. Seltzers? Really? Seltzers are what's accounting for the downturn in American consumption of wine flavored? I mean, I like seltzers. They're good. But like, ugh. But no, it's true. This past year was the first year that there has seen a decline in American consumption of wine. There was also, and this is not a new thing, a decline in the consumption of beer in favor of spirits and also a lot of these hard seltzers. I'm just chiding. You drink what you want. It's just funny to me. but that I've missed that in our trends bit last week. Yeesh. That is a trend that we're down 2.3% in consumption, wow. Which is... It's not an insignificant amount given how much wine we like to drink. But hey, it's a new year, new chance to start trying wines. I think one of the reasons a lot of people don't drink wine or haven't or stopping drinking wine is because there's a lot of misconceptions about it. And this is, this whole segment is all about kind of busting down those barriers and those myths. So let's talk about some of them that I love. We're going to start with the wine we're drinking today, and this is one of my faves, and it still comes up to this day, so I will still hit it as long as it comes up, that screw caps mean bad wine. Well, we're drinking a very tasty Chilean Pinot Noir, and yes, indeed, I am exploring wines from other parts of the globe very specifically these days for obvious reasons, but I was on Chilean Pinot Noir long before this problem. It is really a delightful place for a whole lot of varietals, as we've discussed in the past couple of months when we were talking about the country of Chile. Very, very high altitude, a lot of desert-like conditions, phylloxera-free in a lot of these places, so you've got a lot of clonal varieties. So this is a screw cap Pinot Noir. It sells for $15, and it's absolutely delightful. So screw caps, and bear in mind, this is my first time this year telling you, and I'll revisit this many times, cork has something in it called trichloroanisole. It's in 5 to 10% of all cork. There's nothing that cork producers can do about that. It's just a thing. And it can ruin your wine. And so a lot of people decide, instead of risking that, especially for their, you know, more heavily produced lower-end wines, you know, their money makers, their drivers, why risk losing 5 to 10% of your product? So screw caps. It's there. Oh, gosh. And while we're on caps and things like that, popping a cork allows a wine to breathe. This is another one of my favorites that's come up a lot lately. And this is a good opportunity to talk about what you're doing when you're allowing wine to breathe, right? So wine has in it chemical compounds called esters. Esters are what hits your olfactory nerves and tells your nerves that it smells like grandma's apple pie or your dirty litter box or anything in between. So what happens is oxygen slowly oxidizes that wine. It also slowly softens the tannin in that wine if there's tannin. And so when you're popping a cork, you're giving yourself about, I don't know, a couple millimeters of space to let oxygen integrate with that wine, which isn't doing anything more than the eulage, which is that little gap between the cork and the wine itself, was doing in the first place. So in order to really get air into your wine, you need to pour it into a glass, pour it into a decanter, things like that. Simply popping a cork is not letting it, quote, breathe. But it's always been a good trope, so there it is. another favorite of mine, only expensive wine is good wine. We may soon see a lot more wines that is expensive and not necessarily for the price. But no, this is, of course, nonsense. There have been many, many studies, a lot of blind tests over the years that, you know, people will choose the least expensive out of a choice of three, hidden labels. I will say this, that the less expensive wine in the world is made for the greater consumption of the world. Therefore, wines that will be more expensive are more expensive for a reason, but they're also probably tougher to get your head around unless you know what you're looking for. So if you want to spend a lot of money on a bottle of wine, and a lot of people come into my store and do, you know, so-and-so did me a favor, I want them to know that I really appreciate it, this and that and the other thing, that's cool, but don't necessarily think that that's the best choice for any given gift or any given individual. That person might just like maybe a six pack of everyday wines because they're not going to really get what comes out of a $100 bottle. So don't be afraid to ask your friendly neighborhood wine merchant, hey, do you think this is a good idea for this person? Maybe it's a fabulous idea. Maybe it's the best idea ever. But never think that you have to spend a lot of money to get a good bottle of wine. And certainly don't think that you have to spend a lot of money to impress someone or anything like that. Good wine comes in all forms, and it's good, and it's wonderful. Another favorite of mine, I don't like wine. Never had a wine I liked. You got to try more wines.
Yes.
Come to our tastings, our monthly tastings. By the way, good reminder, this Thursday, we are trying all non-tariff wines. That's not a mistake. And they're really, really excellent wines. I'm actually very, very excited about this lineup on Thursday. So 5 to 7. And we have these things regularly, as do a lot of people. I know Tiller and Rye does a regular monthly tasting. I'm sure some of the other places locally do monthly tastings. Go to them. Try stuff. The likelihood is you're probably, you know, your cheap Uncle Vinny's third wedding. And he, you know, said, I want the cheapest white and the cheapest red. And that's it. And you had something gross. Try it again. There's so much variety. And that doesn't go just for wine. It goes for beer. It goes for meads. It goes for ciders. The unbelievable variety available to us right now is just stunning.
So, is that up there with the wine gives me a headache argument?
That's a good one, too. We'll certainly get into that when we talk about the health benefits. But yes, wine gives me a headache. It might. It might for several reasons. But let's not write off all wine simply because you got a headache once. Let's talk about it. There's histamines in some wines that might give you allergic reactions. There's added sulfites in a lot of the cheaper wines that might give you, or maybe you just shouldn't have started with five bourbons. I don't know. I'm just talking out loud here.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm in the same room with Carrie, and you know, he's, you know where his heart lies. So maybe five bourbons is the right way to start anything. I don't know. Just really quick, we'll do one other one quick, and then we'll finish up. I vacuum pump the wine, so it's good to go for a month. And or I really only drink like a bottle every 2 months, and I just open it and kind of. I will refer you to the thing I was mentioning a little while ago. Wine oxidizes, right? Like when you cut open an apple and you see it turn brown and it shrivels up and all that sort of stuff. Same, it's fruit juice. Never forget. Especially good wine, natural wines, they're fruit juice. Yeah, they're fermented, but they still will react to oxygen. And so the best thing to do is either finish the bottle in a couple of days or less, or buy some inert gas that you can spray in that and get the oxygen off of it, and that will give you a better chance. And we can talk a lot more about that as the months progress here, of course. I thank you for putting up with my subtle politics. And I look forward to seeing and talking to you all here next week, next Tuesday. Another reminder again, of course, please join us for our tasting 5 to 7 o'clock on Thursday. As I said, we're going to have some really, really excellent wines that, barring any unforeseen trade wars with other parts of the world, will remain affordable and wonderful for the foreseeable future. Cheers.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle, every single Tuesday afternoon. Of course, you can also go to our website, downtownwithrichkimble.com, and all of Eric's segments archived right there. Just click on the Message in the Bottle tab and enjoy them all. Make it a weekend, an Eric Meehan marathon.
Ooh.
Christine says that's every weekend.
She says you don't want to sign up for it either.